truly appreciate, a vastly experienced commentator on Money Matters and a former guest on Nine to Noon. Back to the program. David Boyle is with Mint Asset Management and formerly with the Commission for Financial Capability. David, thank you very much.
Catherine, how are you? I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. And what an interesting subject you've got, what the older generation can teach us about money management. Now, I suppose it's which generation you're talking about. The boomers can get themselves in a spot of bother sometimes, can't they? But if we go back to the generation that grew up in the Depression, say, what can we learn from whom, David?
Yeah, look, it's a topic that I'm always very passionate about, and my mother passed away last year in November. She was 95, and it kind of resonated with me, some of the old sayings that you might think are really old-fashioned, but they're still as relevant as they are, as they were then, back in our day today. So I wrote an article on some of the things that I thought resonated, particularly in this environment, because, you know, we've seen markets fluctuating. A lot of people's investments have gone down this year, but for the younger generation, and I'm a Gen X just by 6 days, and I'm proud of that. But some of the things that kind of mum said to me, I think, are just as relevant, as relevant as they were back then.
Well, she certainly was of that generation. She'd have been a child of the Depression, the Great Depression, and then also growing up through the war years, same generation as my mother. And boy, they can budget, that generation.
Exactly, and they had to. And scarcity was a common theme. So, you know, a couple of themes that are just as important today is saving for that rainy day. And that rainy day is really a buffer account or something that helps kind of deal with life's lumps and bumps as we go, whether it's fixing your car, whether it's perhaps working between job or not having a job and having some money to manage your accounts and bills. There's so many Kiwis that don't have that emergency account in place. And I've been a very strong advocate of KiwiSaver, and I think it could be another way of an iteration of that, of people saving a little bit to build up a bit of a buffer. And that stops the probably more challenging element of borrowing money at very high rates, either credit cards, personal loans, or those nasty payday lenders that have got astronomical rates of interest rates. So having that buffer really helps your long-term well-being and financial well-being as well.
Now, the next saying that still holds true?
Well, if you can't afford it, wait until you can. And in mum's day, you couldn't get loans, you couldn't get credit. Access to debt is so easy now, but you've got to be really careful how you manage that. So, you know, if you do use credit cards, and I do a lot, pay them off each month and make sure you've got a budget and know where you're spending. And if you can't quite afford now, why not wait till a little bit later? And I think that's a pretty important element as well.
This one's so underestimated, but it's the heart of compounding value. Look after the pennies and the pounds will look after themselves. Again, this generation, it was literally the pennies that either would or wouldn't be spent. And we remember money jars and things like this.
Yes.
And cumulatively, this stuff adds up.
Absolutely. In fact, I've just written something that's going to come out next week, and it's about the bucket theory and having money that is there to spend today, some savings for tomorrow, and for long-term investment, and having a plan and a budget and strategy and getting some advice along the way really, really helps, particularly when you are going into your retirement years. And the big challenge that we have, and it's a positive one, is that we're living a lot longer, so we need our money to live as long as we do. So getting that spending right and making sure you're paying yourself first is important, and using that eighth wonder of the world called compound interest working in your favour as soon as you can is another great step in the right direction.
But David, this is also a plea to not have mindless spending. And look, let's acknowledge there are people at the moment who are struggling to pay any number of essentials. But for others, there can be just this habit to spend on stuff that's really not adding anything. And they are the pennies that are slipping through your fingers.
Absolutely. If you do manage that spending better, then, you know, that means the overflow or the money that you've not spending can go into longer term investments like managed funds or KiwiSaver that will give you a better outcome when you're not working or when you've stopped work. So you're absolutely right. And, you know, I think really the key around that is having a budget, and no one likes doing it, but it's such a wonderful tool to have. And that helps that process immensely.
A stitch in time saves nine. This would be used in any number of circumstances, right, from social through to financial.
Look, it is. You know, a stitch in time really is, if don't put off something today that's going to cost you more tomorrow. And that's how I kind of took that notice. I mean, in the old days, it was like, well, put a stitch in your shirt now or your sock, because if you do leave it, the hole will only get bigger or the rip will get worse and will cost a lot more or it's going to take a lot longer to repair. And I think, you know, when you're looking at kind of giving yourself some certainty and security of those things that do happen, it might be an accident. If you've got insurance in place to protect that before it happens, it's not a bad outcome either.
It's also relational, isn't it? It's tackling things early. And goodness, the correlationship between financial matters and intimate relationships are massive. It's spotting the tear in the fabric early, and before it's got bigger.
Exactly. And look, you would have heard, and this is the one that always terrified me the most, and we saw a lot of sad cases around the scamming that's going on in New Zealand and internationally. People are, you know, being employed every day to try and take money out of people's accounts. And scams, digital scams, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And that is a terrifying process that a lot of New Zealanders have been going through over the last few years.
And more wisdom from that generation: if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. In other words, look after whatever health you've got, look after it as best you can.
Well, you can be really rich, but if you can't go out and enjoy it, or you're not in a position to be able to maintain a healthy life, doesn't matter how much money you've got. And I didn't really understand that as a kid when Mum told me, but I'm 57 and I find it getting a little out of bed just a little bit harder every day. So you want to make sure that, you know, you do invest in yourself as much as your financial well-being as well.
Things like declining bone density, declining muscle mass, we know that affects both sexes from sort of the 30s on. And it's another saying, I don't know if it comes from the same era, but use it or lose it, they're correlated, right? You need to you need to invest more in that body, right?
You do. And the use it and lose it, or you'll lose it, is so apt. And even though sometimes it's a bit harder to have that activity, Mum was still walking around the house at 95 before she passed on, and, you know, that was her activity, and she would say that all the time to me. So I'm trying to take a bit of a leaf out of her book on that.
Yeah, well, that's the stitch in time saves nine one as well. I kept thinking also of my mother's generation, the circular economy and the recycling, and like nothing ever got thrown out. You know, if a sheepskin rug had had its day, it ended up out in the garage serving the doorstep out there. Or woe betide you bought a bunch of new tea towels because the old ones would make their way out again. It was just not changing things or buying things because you were bored with them. It was when they truly ended their usefulness, and even then you found another use for them.
Well, exactly. I mean, I still remember Mum darning Dad's socks and my school socks, and, you know, you basically, you used what you had until the need was there. And I think that this disposable economy that we seem to be in, you're accumulating a lot of stuff that actually, it might make you feel good at the time of buying, but it becomes a cost not just for yourself, but the environment as well.
Yeah. Bless your mum and her whole generation and all they've taught us. Thanks very much, David Boyle. That